So I'm going to focus mostly on the mainstream structures that are opposing us, but given what happened yesterday, I think it's in order to talk about some of the more fanatical opposition that we do face. Yesterday there was a demonstration in front of this building marking this conference, organized by people holding placards that publicly sported the insignia of the Jewish Defense League. I don't know if people are familiar with the Jewish Defense League, and I don't really want to spend too much time on it, but I guess suffice it to say that the FBI classifies them as a right-wing terrorist organization. And I don't, like, if people are familiar with the history of the FBI, if the FBI is calling you a right-wing terrorist organization, you're crazy. So, so that they're around, I think, does show just, I guess, some of the ridiculous fanaticism that does surround Israel advocacy on this continent. But I think it's going to take more than fools in university administrations and Zionist zealots out front to deter us from doing Palestine solidarity organizing. And the strength of this conference does, I think, attest to that. So, as the previous speakers have stressed, repression of Palestine solidarity organizing on Canadian campuses and throughout Canadian society is not random. The object, this repression is intended to defend a quite impressive and terrible system of Canadian support for Israeli apartheid. Agreements like the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement, which grosses bilateral trade of about $1 billion annually. Agreements like the Canada-Israel Industrial Research and Development Fund, through which Canadian public money is put into subsidizing joint Canadian-Israeli corporate projects, are part of a base of support for Israeli apartheid that does have defenders. We can expect them to challenge us as we try to erode this base of support, but I do think that we should understand that they do know what's going on, and if we can understand their strategies, I think we can respond appropriately. On the one hand, then, they've been trying to repress Palestine solidarity organizing. They've been trying to attack people who try to challenge this system of support for Israeli apartheid. On the other hand, though, and this is what I'm going to talk about a little bit more, they've been actively working fairly effectively to expand the base of Canadian support for Israeli apartheid. And in recent years, this has been quite dramatic. So, I mean, the events of this summer just showed it quite clearly. Throughout June and July, Israel was, of course, massacring scores of people in Gaza with, as it continued to destroy Palestinian infrastructure in Gaza and pound at the population and collectively penalize the population. And in early July, as the Israeli military moved towards bombing Lebanon, our prime minister said that this was a measured exercise of Israel's right to defend itself. Now, this is a pretty unprecedented display of Canadian diplomatic support for this level of Israeli violence. And I think it's worth talking about what organizations have cultivated this support, and what social and political dynamics have cultivated the support, and how we can really confront that. So, David talked about some of the organizations, and I think we do really need to focus on this one organization called the Canadian Council for Israel and Jewish Advocacy, which is a group of 18 to 22 leading corporate Canadian tycoons that run the Canadian Jewish Congress, that run the Canada-Israel Committee, and that direct Hillel policy nationally. Now, it's just trying to think about how we can get through this quickly. One of the main shifts towards Canadian, one of the early indications in recent years that Canadian diplomatic support for Israeli apartheid was going to escalate dramatically was the decision in late 2004 of the Paul Martin government to vote against key resolutions affirming Palestinian rights at the United Nations. Now, at the time, Globe and Mail columnist John Ibbotson, not a particularly progressive guy, but tolerably intelligent, wrote about these developments. And he, I think, laid out a framework that's pretty accurate. So what he said is, okay, on the one hand, President George Bush is on his way to Ottawa. Canada didn't fully participate in the invasion of Iraq as the US would have liked. And across the spectrum with Canadian foreign policy, we're trying to make it up to the US. So that's one factor. We want to integrate with US foreign policy. But on the other hand, he named the Canadian Council for Israel and Jewish Advocacy, and particularly CEJA director Jerry Schwartz, who, through his close connection to Paul Martin himself and to the Liberal Party, and CEJA's connection to the Liberal Party generally, had nurtured and cultivated this increase in Canadian diplomatic support for Israel. So it's partly a matter of strategy that this is the case. So explicitly, the corporate networks that CEJA represents talk about a strategy for increasing Canadian support for Israel based on what they called the shared values approach. What they want to do is they want to highlight where Canadian policy has similarities to Israeli policy, where Canadian values have similarity to Israeli values. And it's true, they don't need to look far, from Six Nations to Afghanistan to Haiti. It is demonstrated. And they want to build upon those similarities and make an alliance on that basis. Now, that has to do with explicit strategy, but it's worth looking at the structures that are responsible for this lobbying, and it's no surprise that this is their approach. CEJA, it's true, represents corporate Canada, but that's not the entire picture. So CEJA is part of a North American Federation system. These are the leading pro-Israel fundraisers through all North America, federated through these local federations that all work together. Now, this is not a Canadian system. Canada is one region of a five-sector federation system whose regions are West, Southeast, Northeast, Central, and Canada. It's a U.S.-dominated system, and it is as well corporate U.S. power that's being represented through their advocacy efforts. So, institutionally, in the States, the four U.S. regions of this federation system are represented in their pro-Israel advocacy primarily by an organization that you may be familiar with called the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC. So through their corporate Canadian representatives in CEJA, APAC has directly and explicitly expanded its sphere of operation north of the border. So what we have is we have an organization of 18 to 22 Canadian tycoons, closely linked to the US, who, as David Noble mentioned, spawned an organization called the Canadian Council for Israel and Jewish Advocacy Public Affairs Committee, CEJA-PAC. This is openly part of the APAC system of political action committees or public affairs committees, PACs. Every year from 2003 on, CEJA-PAC, this new Canadian lobby group, attended the conference, the annual conference of APAC in the States. A writer for the Canadian Jewish News, Paul Lungen, said that, I'm trying to find the quote here, yeah. His line was, APAC plays an advisory and mentoring role for CEJA-PAC. It's very explicit. Now, For the first while, this was having a very significant impact. As Ibbotson was saying, you've got these fundraisers connected to the Liberal Party pushing an agenda of Canadian-US integration in supporting Israeli apartheid, as the Canadian establishment already wants to cozy up to the US. And it was having a very big impact. However, another mechanism of Canadian support for Israel is that all the fundraising campaigns for Israeli apartheid are classified as charitable. So if you support the United Israel Appeals Israel Emergency Campaign to defray the military costs of attacks on Lebanon through international corporate fundraising, that's charity work under Canadian law. If you support the Jewish National Fund with its ethnic discriminatory policies, that's charity. But as much as that's charity, you can't directly involve yourself with charitable dollars in the Canadian electoral process. You can't support candidates. You can't take partisan positions. So CEJA-PAC was being funded by these charitable dollars and found itself constrained. This all changed before last federal election. So in May 2005, people from across Europe, Canada, and the US went to Washington, DC for the 2005 annual conference of APAC. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, US Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice were both in attendance, and they discussed shaping policy on Iran, as well as on Israel-Palestine. That same month, the head of the existing Canadian lobby group, CEJA-PAC, resigned and a few months later, the organization was dissolved. Then, right before the last federal election, a new group was established, CJPAC, the Canadian Jewish Political Affairs Committee. There's very little information about what this multi-partisan lobbying group is doing, but what we do know is that they are participating in each and every Canadian political party and the election process generally with the stated aim of fostering a cross-partisan Canadian consensus in support of Israeli apartheid and for rejection of Palestinian rights. It's also in order to note that the January 2006 Canadian federal elections were the occasion for an unprecedented display of cross-partisan support for Israel. And I think it's fair to say that that's not coincidental. So we are getting short on time, and we should leave time for discussion. I guess in short, well, I just need to spend 1 minute actually on what's happened in the last, since the federal election, and what this has meant in terms of Canadian partisan politics, if that's all right. So this corporate base, the corporate base represented in Canada by CEJA, by this federation structure, has historically been dominated by support for the Liberal Party. The Tories, however, have seen in the creation of CJPAC, in the creation of this multi-partisan lobbying strategy, a way of winning from the Liberals a major base of corporate support. And they very, very actively work to support Israel as hard and as strong as they can, and on that basis, formally been publicly saying, look, you've got to support us, you've got to give us your money, you've got to support us. And at this point, what we've seen, and maybe we can cut it off now, but what we've seen is over the summer, people may have seen public splits in the Liberal Party resulting from the Liberal Party's insufficient support for Israel and the defection of this corporate Canadian base to the Tories. And I think we can't, because of their support from Israel and corporate Canada, stop these organizations entirely, but we can end their ability to function in the absence of widespread attention, scrutiny, and opposition. And I think that needs to be one of our priorities as we proceed with the campaign for boycott, divestments, and sanctions against Israel.